Scripture reading today is from 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 2, and this is in the message this time, 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through to 9. My dear friends, this is now the second time I've written to you. Both letters remind us to hold your minds in a state of undistracted attention. Keep in mind what the holy prophet said and the command of our Master and Savior that was passed on by your apostles. First off, you need to know that in the last days, mockers are going to have a heyday. Reducing everything to the level of their puny feelings, they'll mock. So what's happening to the promise of his coming? Our ancestors are dead and buried, and everything's going on just as it has from the first day of creation until now. Nothing's changed. They conveniently forget that long ago, all the galaxies and this very planet were brought into existence out of watery chaos by God's word. Then God's word brought the chaos back in a flood that destroyed the world. The current galaxies and earth are fuel for the final fire. God is poised, ready to speak his word again, ready to give the signal for the judgment and destruction of the desecrating skeptics. The day the sky will collapse. Don't overlook the obvious here, friends. With God, one day is as good as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. God isn't late with his promise as some measure lateness. He is restraining himself on account of you, holding back the end because he doesn't want anyone lost. He's giving everyone space and time to change. And really, that's the text for this morning. He is restraining himself on account of you, holding back the end because he doesn't want anyone lost. He's giving everyone space and time to change. Before I get into that a little bit, I sort of promised that I don't know if you're okay with it, but I promised myself that I would sort of bring a little, joke. Some might not consider them jokes, but I think some of them have very, very good content. This is one of those, I think. There was a man who wanted to build a bar in the town. The church congregation that was next door strongly opposed it, but construction of the bar went on. Just before it was finished, however, lightning struck the bar and it burned to the ground. The church congregation gloated and credited the Lord. The bar owner sued the church, claiming that the congregation's prayers had cost him his building, but the church leaders denied having anything to do with it. The case went to court, and the local judge was said not to know how to rule in the matter. He said he had a bar owner who believed in the power of prayer and a church congregation that didn't. That's profound. There's something quite profound in that. Yeah. Well. Over these weeks, I've had, a conviction to bring before us, little bit by little bit, something of about this incredible thing called grace. I'm still learning about it. I'm still coming to terms with it. I wonder about it all the time. I wonder about the grace of God toward me. And this past week, I've been thinking about how patient his grace really is, how patient God is toward us. And so I just wanted to share a little bit about that this morning with you. I've read a couple of things in my research, and this is one of them. A man's car stalled in the heavy traffic as the light turned green. All his efforts to start the engine fail, and a chorus of honking horns behind him made matters worse. He finally got out of his car, walked back to the first driver and said, "I'm sorry, but I can't seem to get my car started. If you go up there and give it a try, I'll stay here and blow your horn for you." I thought that was good. And this especially, apart from Lynn, any other school teachers here with us? This is dedicated to you, Lynn. Did you hear about the teacher who was helping one of her kindergarten students put his boots on? He asked for help and she could see why. With her pulling and him pushing, the boots still would not go on. When the second boot was on, she had worked up a sweat. She almost whimpered when the little boy said, "Teacher, they're on the wrong feet." She looked and sure enough they were. It wasn't any easier pulling the boots off than it was putting them on. She managed to keep her cool as together they worked to get the boots back on, this time on the right feet. He then announced, "These aren't my boots." She bit her tongue rather than get right in his face and scream, "Why didn't you say so?" like she wanted to. Once again, she struggled to help him pull the ill-fitting boots off. He then said, "They're my brother's boots. My mum made me wear them." She didn't know if she should laugh or cry. She mustered up the grace to wrestle the boots on his feet again. And she said, "Now, where are your mittens?" And he said, "I stuffed them in the toes of the boots." I would say that that's long suffering, which is actually a definition really of patience, is long suffering. You know, we're living and thank you Fiona for reminding us about this kingdom. We're a kingdom people. Something has changed in the earth. God is bringing about his kingdom, and he's even encouraged us to pray for it. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And there's something about this kingdom thing that's starting to regrip the hearts of the Church of Jesus in our day. And it's a very different lifestyle. It's not about what we believe, it's about who we believe in. It's not about believing the right things, it's about actually doing things right according to what God has said we're to be shaped by and live by. But it doesn't come by saying, "I will just tick all the boxes and I'll believe all the right things and I'll do my duty." No, it's actually worshipping a benevolent King, Jesus, because our hearts have been warmed and touched and changed to do so. And we become like him. I mean, we pray this all the time, don't we? That we might become more and more like Jesus. Do we know what we're praying? When we pray that, sometimes I wonder. But we have so often this picture of God ready to hurt us if we do the wrong thing. We sometimes get an idea of a God who is a kind of a miser, an impatient dictator, somebody who's manipulating things in the earth, and it just all wrong. That's not the way God in his word portrays who he is. Romans 2:4. "Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance?" And in verse 9, this is in the ESV, "He is restraining himself on account of you, holding back the end because he doesn't want anyone lost." I beg your pardon, it's the message. He's giving everyone space and time to change. And verse 15 of 2 Peter 3, "And count the patience of our Lord as salvation." God is patient because he doesn't want anyone to be lost. Here's a little bit of the definition of patience out of the Oxford Dictionary. And I like this one. It's the capacity for calm, self-possessed waiting. Forbearing, uncomplaining, tolerant, long-suffering, resigned, stoical. There's all kinds of different words that are associated around this, but it's waiting. Self-possessed, calmly waiting. And I keep going back. I cannot escape in these days the picture of the parable of the prodigal son. I just see the father in that story, so powerfully portrayed in this parable. The father waiting on his son. You know, there's pictures of him in artwork. He's kind of like out there every night, watching and waiting. And I get a picture that God is kind of like that. He's constantly watching and waiting and expecting his kids to come home, his created ones. And he's given his church the incredible privilege of being partners with him in that task of bringing lost ones home. But he's a patient God, not wishing that any should be lost. That's his heart toward us. We live in the day of grace, you know. And it's kind of careless days, don't you think? I wonder that we as the church have kind of lost something a bit. We've lost an expectation, number one, that Jesus is coming back. Does anybody believe that? Two, three, four? Let me go and we'll start this thing again, I think. Jesus is coming back for his bride, his church. And he is very, very patient as he waits for that. Very, very patient indeed. There were times in history when Christians went around wearing badges like, I won't do all the letters, but he said, "Please be patient, God is not finished with me yet." We've even said that, haven't we? "Please be patient, God is not finished with me yet." And it's absolutely true, he's not finished with me yet. God is patient and I'm not. I freely admit it. Don't ever pray to be more patient. Do you know what the scripture says about that? You know what he's going to give you if you pray that prayer? He's going to test that on you and give you stuff to make you patient. So don't pray about being patient, please don't do that. But God is patient and I'm not. God is absolute patience. It's part of who he is. Do you know why? The scripture says that love is patient and God is love. It's part of who God really is. He is patience in the very definition of the word. God is patient. God is displaying his patience. Clearly, the patience of God toward us is absolutely staggering. I don't know if you were to contemplate this for a moment or two, how God actually waits for us. He puts up with our stuff and waits for us. The nearest we can get is a parent that's so patient with their children. I got in trouble once, more than once actually, but once, when I actually presented a message to our church called "Treat Your Children Like a Dog." I can't understand why they're upset with me, but I think it was the title. Because I said, what happens is when we train dogs, we're consistent, true, we're patient, we reward them when they do it right, and we keep on going until they get it right. Is that how it works? Very, very patient when we're training dogs. And when we're training children, sometimes we're not as patient. I thought it was a brilliant title. I don't know. But I see God's patience in dealing with Adam and Eve. You know, in the story of Adam and Eve, isn't God patient when, in the face of their disobedience, as they fell into sin, he grants them a revelation, really, of what is called the covenant of grace. Wow, he provides a way for them. Ah, God is patient. I see his patience with the patriarchs, with Israel. Remember Israel, the stories of Israel in the wilderness, whining and grumbling because they didn't have the right kind of food. He was giving them food, but they wanted Kentucky Fried Chicken, so he gave them quails and, you know, that all this kind of thing. So God was incredibly patient with them. And I know as we go through this idea and this concept of grace, we can sort of think, well, Doug, you might be overemphasizing this just a tad. What about the judgment of God? What about the holiness of God? What about the wrath of God? Well, yeah, there's all certainly that, but we're familiar with that. We're just not familiar with the patience and kindness and the goodness of God so much. So, at the risk of overemphasizing that, I see his patience in the ebb and flow of the church throughout history. God has been unbelievably patient with Christians fighting one another from different denominations. I'm of this tribe and they're of that tribe. In the world of the kingdom that is coming and has come, there's none of that. We're God's kids and yet to be kids. Two kinds of people in the world. Those that love God and those that are yet to love him. So I see his patience with a world that rejects him. I see his patience with other religions, philosophies, and ideologies. I see his patience with Islam. I don't know about you, but when you read the stories of what God is doing at the moment with Islam, wow, hundreds of thousands of Muslims coming to faith in Christ, having a revelation of Jesus. Nobody's even talking to them about it. Jesus is presenting himself by revelation to them. Why? Because he's good. Because he's kind. Because he's patient. I see his patience everywhere in the created universe. Everything in its season and in its time. And you as rural people know exactly what that's all about. You know, sometimes when we see something that looks dead, I thought I'd actually killed some plants in our garden. Well, they were actually trees. And the girl said, you better prune those trees. So I'm a guy and I prune them. Really good. But they're coming back. The green's on them now. But to look at them, I thought they were dead. I actually inspected them a few times. I was impatient to see whether those buds were going to come through. God is patient in his creation. So let's look just briefly at a couple of areas this morning about his patience. Firstly, he's patient toward you. If you're a Christ follower, he's patient toward you. It's interesting to me that this scripture that we looked at this morning is really directed toward those who are believers about repentance, about changing the way we think about certain things. And certainly in these end times, as we look forward to Jesus coming back for his bride, for his church, we need to have a different perspective. Because I tell you what, the stuff that we live with in our world is a distraction from that very thing, isn't it? And it's hard to keep focus. So we need to be reminded of that very thing. This is what it says in 1 Peter 3, the passage that we read from. To those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in those various places, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father and the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. He's talking to Christ followers in this passage. So God has set his patience toward us, his long suffering. And so he will not send his son to bring the consummation of all things until we start changing our mind about some things. So this is not light that I'm talking about here this morning. This is a bit of heavier, you know, for us to think through and perhaps take notice of. So God is patient with us. Second thing is he's patient with the world. I just want us to think about that. He's patient with the world and its rebellion against him. You know, there's a world that is really just shaking its fist in the face of God. Does God overlook it? He's patient because he loves everybody he's created. I can't quite get my head around that. Does God love somebody who is a mass murderer? Yes, he does. He's patient toward them. Does God love Donald Trump? I'm not too sure about Donald. Of course he does. He's patient. He's patient with those who are not Christ followers yet. It's what it says. Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you're storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Speaking to Christians about changing our mind about this world out there. God is patient with all people. Hard judges. Change the way we think about our world out there. The next time we meet someone, what do we think when we meet someone we know down the road, the next property, the person at the service station? What do we think about them when we meet them? As kingdom people, this is what I would encourage us to think like. I carry in me the fullness of God by His Spirit. I carry in me a message that this person needs to hear. And along with Francis of Assisi, I will preach the gospel, the good news, at all times, and sometimes use words. When they come in contact with me, they're coming in contact with the Christ who is in me. And that's a life changer. That changes people's lives. They'll want to ask the question. And I think that that's what the message is this morning. And God is patient with everybody, with all those other people out there. There's something incumbent upon us to be partners with Him in this end time thing that we're entering into. God is patient with us, with the world. Third thing, we need to be patient with our fellow Christians, with really everybody, those who are yet to be Christians. Very hard in the family to be patient with one another, isn't it? Particularly if they get on your nerves. You know, the interesting thing about being a part of a family, that's also part of our vision as a church, but the interesting thing about being part of a family, a blood family, is that, you know, we're stuck with each other, aren't we? We're related. And so we need to get on with each other. I heard a Christian comedian once say that if we don't get on with each other down here, our first 1,000 years in heaven are going to be miserable. So we better make a start now. Better make a start. You see, in this passage, God is patient toward you. And He is developing us and refining us, stretching us and growing us. He's given everyone space and time to change. So we need to be that toward each other. So how do we do that? How are we going to be patient with each other? Expect that God is at work. Expect that God is at work, even when it doesn't appear so. Like those dead trees that I pruned, expect that there's life at work in there, because there is. God is always at work. God hasn't given up on anybody yet that I know of, until they choose that. But even when they choose that, His patience and His grace extends toward them. I don't know the full story on that. But expect that God is at work in people. Here's another one. Second thing is, be available for people. Just be available. I learned a long time ago in ministry, I felt guilty when I'd come before somebody who was bereaved. You know, they just lost some special impression. I didn't know what to say. And I heard the Holy Spirit whisper in my ear one day and said, "Don't say anything. Be there." And then I discovered what is called the ministry of presence, of just showing up, of being available. That speaks louder than any words that come from our mouth. Because sometimes our words get in the way of our actions. That's deep, by the way. It's quite deep. Third thing, love people recognizing that God has His timetable with them. He's patient toward them. God always has His timetable. Lord, I thank You for Your patience with us. Thank You that Your patience is infinite toward us, Your people. So patient toward those who don't know You yet. So patient with all of us. And Lord, that You're giving us space and time to change day by day and step by step. Lord, I pray that You'll continue to help us with this. Amen. Look, I just have one more thing. Does anybody remember seeing the film The Horse Whisperer? It was a long time ago.
you've got it in your library. I think it's one of the greatest movies of modern times, really. It's full of the grace of God. In fact, the girl in the story is called Grace. The horse in the story is called Pilgrim. But the best scene that I know of in the movie is when Tom Booker is sitting out in the field, and Pilgrim, this horse that has been damaged in this accident, is out there in the field, you know, with a little hissy fit. Can we use that word here? Hissy fit? No, I mean, anyway. He's out there in all kinds of jumping up and down, and he's not going to come back. He ran out, and the horse is out there. And Tom Booker sits there and waits all day and most of the evening until that horse comes to him. That's a beautiful, beautiful picture of God, our Father. He's watching us out there doing a hissy fit. And he's waiting for us to come back, willingly, lovingly, in response to his invitation. He wants us to come home. One of the things that we've got available here is a team, a small team. We'd love to pray for issues, matters, anything really. They need a lot of practice in praying for people. No kidding. But after the service in each of our locations, there's a little dedicated place to pray. And if you have needs, we'd just like somebody to be with you. Please feel free to come forward and do that. At the conclusion of our service here, we're going to enjoy a cup of coffee and I believe the soup and some other goodies to enjoy as well, so don't go rushing off unless you need to. So is that okay about the patience of God? We've got a little bit there. You're learning and appreciating something about the grace of God. I know I am. I'm just enjoying this like mad. I'm having a blast, so I'm sorry if you're not enjoying it so much. Our benediction for the day. And now, may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus. Amen. And that's out of Romans 15.